That body, please turn with me to Luke chapter 15 here this morning. Luke chapter 15, you know, it was two Fridays ago, 10 days ago, that I woke at 3 in the morning deeply disturbed in spirit over the coming Sunday and the message, deeply, terribly disturbed. I can't tell you, for an hour I lay in bed and wrestled. And then eventually got up, slipped out of bed without disturbing Candace. And there as I sat with the Lord gave me these messages. Three messages we began last Sunday. This is the second message and I'll finish it with the third message next Sunday morning. But it's a short series called Lost Things. You must hear last week's message. If you weren't here, you didn't hear it, you must hear that message last week. I believe it's very important for your soul, for your spiritual condition. And I believe this is what the Lord would have for us. Reading from Luke chapter 15 in our series is Lost Things. God is very interested in lost things, or a lost condition, or any sort of loss that happens in the church. See here this morning, if you've lost things in your Christian walk, Christ has a heart for you this morning. He wants to rescue you this morning. He wants to recover you here this morning. Don't walk out of here in a lost condition. I don't care if you've just lost things to a certain degree, or you've lost your prayer life, or lost your time in the Word, or lost the closeness to the Lord, or whether you're a lost sinner. I want to tell you, the Bible teaches God loves the lost, and He wants to recover. Reading from Luke 15, and my message this morning is the lost coin, the lost coin. Luke 15 and verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans, or the tax collectors, and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And he, that is Christ, spake this parable unto them, saying. Now go to verse 8. And we're looking at the second part of this parable. Verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray that you open up a revelation concerning this lost coin. My God, we're so aware that your heart, that your desire, that your burden, that your ministry is to go in search of lost things. Nor, God, in search of lost sinners, in search of lost churches, in search of lost preachers, in search of lost sheep, in search of lost coins, in search of lost sons. My God, what a heart you have that burns with a brilliant love. With a fiery love, a fervent love. Nor, God, you love sinners and you pursue after them. Nor, God, it's you, the great shepherd of the sheep, that goes looking for the lost sheep. Thank you, O God, that you're so loving, you're so merciful, that you're so gracious, that you don't give up on lost things, but that you find them, that you restore them, that you recover them, that you replace them, that you renew them, that you revive them again. Nor, God, you are such a God who comes rejoicing back to the house of God with a lost lamb, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. We love you this morning, and we ask, O God, that you do a work of restoration, of recovery in this room, this church, every life this morning. Bring us back to Calvary again. In the name of Jesus, we love you. Amen. Our message here this morning is the lost coin. Last week, We dealt with the lost sheep, and next week we'll deal with the lost son. These three are not three different parables. Christ actually said they're one parable. He began to speak a parable. Not three different parables, not plural parables. It is one parable. The parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son is all one. You cannot separate them. You must look at them together if you're to truly see the heart of God and the ministry of Christ and to understand the work of Christ. You must not separate them. But there are three small parables within one complete parable. And we began already to look at the lost sheep. But here this morning, we're going to look at the lost son. It says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man is come." He has come. That's the reason he has come. Why did he come? Why was he born of a virgin? Why did he leave the glory of heaven? Why is it that he set aside his majesty and his power and his glory and all the worship of heaven and was conceived in the womb of a virgin? Why did Christ come to the earth? Why did he come to be born of a virgin? Why did he come in the form of a man? Why did he allow himself to be taken by the hands of wicked men and crucified and nailed to the cross? Why did he come? For this reason, the Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did he die on the cross? Because of the lost. Because of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Christ died on the cross. That's why he came to earth as God manifest in human flesh. Was in order to rescue those who are lost. They could not help themselves. They could not save themselves. They could not recover themselves. They could not revive themselves. They could not be what God wanted them to be. But that's why God the Father sent his son to die on a cross for you and I, that we might be recovered. It says here in Luke chapter 15, and let's remember the context of where we have been last week. Luke chapter 15 and verse 1. And it says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now look with me for a moment. The context of the parable, or the context of these three stories contained in the parable. What is the context? Why did Christ give the parable? What's the reason behind speaking about lost things and speaking about the lost sheep? And here this morning, speaking about a lost coin. Why did he give this story about the lost coin and the woman searching for it until she finds it? Why did he give it? We have the answer. Because at this time, we see sinners, the worst of sinners, squeezing in and pressing in to be close to Jesus Christ to hear what he would say. Look at the sinners drawing near to Christ to hear him, to hear what he would say. But look at verse 2. At the very same time, in the very same place, dealing with the very same Christ, the Pharisees and the scribes, the religious hypocrites, murmured. That word murmured means to travel all through a crowd, murmuring, grumbling, complaining, criticizing as you go. We have two groups of sinners here. We have die-hard sinners. We have alcoholics. We have harlots and prostitutes. We have cursers and blasphemers. We have those, as we said last week, the tax collectors. They would squeeze the last penny out of their granny and they wouldn't shed a tear over it. That's the sort of scumbags that were drawing near to Jesus to sit at his feet and to say, "Does he have anything to say to me?" But there was another group of very respectable religious men. They knew the word of God. They could quote the word of God. They could preach the word of God. And what are they doing in the same gathering? They are murmuring. They're trying to find people to murmur and grumble and criticize to. And look at these two groups. The worst of sinners are drawing near to hear the word of God. Then the others are murmuring. And what are they saying? Look with me again at the end of verse 2. What are they murmuring? What are they complaining about? They're complaining about Jesus and his ministry. It said, this man receiveth sinners. Have you ever heard anything so bad? This man receiveth sinners. He accepts them. He talks with them. He sits with them. He eats with them. He dines with them. He makes them friends. He actually treats them like normal people. You know what the Pharisees done? They said, I'm not sitting with him. I don't want him in my house. I don't want him to be seen walking down the street with him. They're the scum of the earth. I want nothing to do. The religious Pharisees said, we're very careful who we associate with. We don't want to be polluted by your sin. We don't want to be identified with you. But that isn't Christ. What does Christ do? Sinners come unto him and he receives them. He says, come here, Jimmy. Come sit beside me. No, master, I'm a tax collector. Jimmy, you're going to sit here and you're going to eat with me. I'll break the bread for you. I'll serve up the cup of juice for you. Mary, come and sit by my side. No, master, if you knew who I was, I don't care, Mary. You're going to sit beside me. Today, we're going to dine together. So you see, Christ, the great accusation against him was he was a friend of sinners. He received sinners. He accepted sinners. He utterly disregards their lost condition because he has come to save them. You see, all through Luke's gospel, we have the same thing flowing through it from beginning to end. Look at Luke chapter 50 and verse 30. It says, but their scribes and Pharisees murmured. They're murmuring again. Murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Then in chapter 7, verse 34, it says, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. This was the worst accusation that they could throw at Christ. Do you realize he is a friend of sinners? Do you realize he associates with the worst people in the city? I want to tell you, this is why Christ came. He walked past all the religious houses. He walked past all the priests. He didn't even look sideways at the great high priest and the men with their titles and their riches. But he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to find the lost sheep, to find the lost coin, to find the lost son. This is entire ministry. You see, it's sinners who draw near to hear him. There's always hope for you when you want to squeeze in close and say, master, I don't feel worthy, but I do know that you have the word of God. I do need your touch in my life. I so need you to speak into my heart and life and change me. There is hope for you this morning. If you're here squeezing in, if you came to murmur and mumble, I tell you, just look at me. You'll find lots to murmur about and complain and grumble. But I tell you what, you'll go to hell religious. You'll go to hell straight from a church. But I'll show you those sinners who come seeking. Christ was accused of being a friend of sinners. What a dreadful thing. Imagine identifying with such people as us. It also says in Luke chapter 7, 39, about a time when Simon the Pharisee there's a Pharisee inviting Christ into his home to fellowship and to eat and to dine and to talk together. And listen to what it says in 7:39. You see, a woman in the midst of that gathering, a woman come in the door. And all those in the house, and Simon the publican, he says, she's an immoral woman. She's been sexually immoral. She's sinned against God. She's not holy. She doesn't obey God. And here she comes walking in the door, and she goes straight. She doesn't say a word. She goes straight to the feet of the master, and she begins to weep over his feet. She begins to cry hot tears. His feet are literally soaked with her tears. And then she takes her hair, and she begins to dry her his feet all the time, weeping and broken and groaning in heart. She doesn't utter a word. And sitting there, listen to what it says again in chapter 7:39. Now when the Pharisee, that is Simon, which had bidden him to the meal, saw it, he spake within himself, in his heart, saying, this man if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. If he was a true prophet, man, he would know all her past, all her secrets, all her sexual immorality. He would know what type of woman, and he would say, get away from me, lady. Oh, how they didn't know the Savior. They didn't know why Christ came. You see, Christ actually came for such a woman as her. The Pharisee, you can't do much with him. Man, he's proud, he's arrogant, he thinks he knows it all. But that woman, weeping on her knees, she went away forgiven. It says again in chapter 19, verse 7, about the home of Zacchaeus. Remember little Zacchaeus who climbed the tree to see the Master coming. He was too small to stand the side of the street. Anyway, nobody would stand beside him. They'd go on your back, they'd nudge him out, they'd shove him out of the way. He'd say, let me in. They'd say, no, on your back. Why would you want to come see Jesus Christ? But you know what? As Jesus walked by, he stopped. See, he knew where he was. He knew the wee man's in the tree. And he stopped. He looked right up where he was, says, come down, wee man, Zacchaeus, come down this day. For today, I'm going to your house. I'm going to dwell in your house. I'm not going in just to say hello or leave a blessing. I'm coming to dwell in your house today. I'm going to eat in your home today. I'm going to sit with you in fellowship. Can you imagine the shocked faces of the crowd around them going, do you know who Zacchaeus is? Do you know he's the most hated man in our city? Do you know he squeezed? Jesus, the pennies out of his own mother and out of his grandmother and his brothers and his cousins, and everybody hates him. Do you realize that? Yes, but I'm going to his home. Hallelujah. Do you know what the Bible says there in Luke chapter 19, 7? And when they saw it, they all murmured that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Can you imagine? Can you imagine he's sitting with sinners? He loves sinners. He goes to sinners. He receives sinners. This was the great accusation against Christ. And this is what was happening in Luke 15. The Pharisees and the religious and those with all the knowledge of the Bible and those who don't blaspheme and those who tithe faithfully and those who read the Bible and those who are always in synagogue, and they're there murmuring against who Christ associates with. And that's why he told the parable of the lost coin. It says in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it? That's why Christ told this parable of the lost coin. Why? Because the religious were murmuring about him associating with sinners. They didn't understand that he'd come to save that which is lost. He'd come to seek for that which is lost. That his entire heart burned with love for those who are sinner. He wasn't polluted by their sin. He gladly sat with them and he said, I've come to save you. I love you. They knew that he loved them. Saints, never lose this. Don't become a Pharisee. We are to be like Christ our Master. Here in this parable, in two short verses or three, I want to simply lay out a message here this morning concerning the lost coin. A very simple message like last week. And yet I believe we so easily miss the heart of Jesus Christ. In these few verses I thought, man, next week I'm not going to have much to preach because the Master didn't give me much to preach. But as I sat with these three verses, I was overwhelmed with what Christ is saying in this parable. Look with me for a moment at the different things mentioned. The coin, the house, the candle, the brush, and finally the woman. First of all, let's look at the coin in this short parable. It says in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece. In this parable, the lost coin, or the lost piece of silver, represents a lost sinner. Jesus is actually teaching here that the lost bit of silver is a sinner. A sinner who's despised by the religious. A sinner who is actually mocked. That's what he's saying. This lost piece of silver that you Pharisees think nothing of, you actually murmur that I would have time for this lost piece. But I want to show you what my heart is for a sinner. So he takes a natural story. The shepherd going out to look for the lost sheep. They understood that. And then he went to the women. He said, you ladies, listen to me. Me sitting here with these sinners, wanting to save one, and wanting to save one from an eternal hell, grabbing them before they fall into the lake of fire. Do you know what it's like? It is like a woman in her house at home who had 10 bits of silver, but she loses one of them. And she isn't careless about it. She leaves everything aside, and she said, I must find that one bit of silver. One bit of silver. You see, this bit of silver, this piece of silver represents a lost sinner that most religious folk won't touch. They won't sit with them. They won't associate with them. They don't want to be seen with them. They won't allow them in their house. They don't want them in the church. Maybe the smell. Who knows? But you know what? Christ has a heart for them in a way that I haven't met in the church in my generation. His heart burns for such people. He leaves the 99 sheep and he goes looking for the one. He'll leave the 9 bits of silver and he'll go in search of that one bit of silver. In our Bible, in the Greek, this word piece of silver is the Greek word drachma. Drachma. It was a form of currency. It was a coin in the first century. This is the only place in the New Testament where this word drachma is actually used. And it means a coin, a piece of silver. It was actually equivalent to about 60 euros. In our own day, maybe a day's work, maybe 2 days' work, depending on what you work at or how hard you work. But this bit of silver, it wasn't really that costly. You're not going to go bankrupt over it, but it is worth something. This bit of silver, actually the lady had lost one of her 10 bits of silver. And you know what? She isn't there going, oh well, I'll just work harder and get another one. She goes in search of that bit of silver. It mattered that she had lost that coin, that bit of silver. She cared about it. She could have said, well, I'll work 2 more days and get another one. But she didn't say that. She says, I care about the coin. That coin was my coin. It was a part of my possession. It was in my house. It belongs to me. I worked for that. And it may seem like it's lost, but I want to recover it again. I'm not just going to go seek for another sinner or some different sinner or walk down the street and work 2 days in order to get a bit of silver. I want that bit of silver. You see, Christ is very particular. You may say, oh, well, they left us. I thought they were saved. I thought they were here to stay. No, they've gone back to the world. Oh, well, we'll look for another sinner. Oh, no, you don't know the heart of Christ. I tell you, those that have come and gone, fallen on their face, got messed. You say, sure, they don't want this. I don't care. I want them. They may not want us. They may not want God. They may not want holiness, but I want them. What sort of preacher are you? I'm a Christ-centered preacher. I'm a preacher who wants the heart of the Master. I'm after the lost coin. Now notice with me, this drachma, if you Google it and look it up, you'll find when you bring the drachma, you'll find the face of a man, an emperor, a king, a leader, the sovereign, the one who has power in the nation. You'll actually see the head, the name, the title, the date, the image of a man who owns that coin, who created that coin, who minted that coin, who invented that coin. That's what you'll see with the drachma. And I'm telling you what the coin represents. Do you realize when you hold the drachma, there is an image, a print of the man behind the coin, who actually forged the coin. What does this lost sinner represent? In Genesis chapter 1:26, and it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. This is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, before they begin creating man, said, let's make man in our image. In other words, man wasn't made for sin. He wasn't made for alcohol. He wasn't made for sexual sin. He wasn't made for lying. He wasn't meant for fighting. He wasn't meant for anger and wrath and disputation. He wasn't made for these things. When somebody lives like that, it means you have lost the image of God within you. But you know what the Bible says? In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. There's going to be love there. There's going to be holiness there. There's going to be meekness there. There's going to be kindness there. There's going to be all the fruit of the Spirit is going to be there. That is the image of God within a person. There's going to be a likeness of the Creator within them. Let us make man. And when anybody looks at that coin, he's going to see the image, the likeness of God within that person. You cannot look at a saved sinner without seeing the likeness of God. But also I see something in every sinner, every drunkard, every prostitute, every harlot, every Muslim, every atheist, every evolutionist. I see an image of God within them. They may be a lost coin, but they still bear the mark, the likeness, the name, the ownership. You know what God's saying? You're mine. You're mine. I created you. I gave you birth. And you have gone out into sin. You have abused the image. You have hidden the image. You have destroyed the image. But I assure you, I made you to worship me. I made you to love me. I made you to obey me. I made you to follow me. I even put the print of the date that I actually created you. You see, this lost coin represents something of value. It's a monetary, it's a bit of money. And when God, it's not the sheep anymore. We're talking about the coin. And when Jesus moves from the lost sheep to the lost coin, he's actually saying, these lost sinners have a value to me. They have a price on them. They have an image of God. Why does he not give up on the harlots and the prostitutes and the sinners? Why is it Christ went after the sinners? It's actually because he saw value in them. And he says, I want to restore the image of God, the likeness of God in your life. I want to bring you back to God's original plan for your life. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. Has that been lost in this hour? Yes. You know, in our schools in Ireland, they'll flood it and say, sure, you've got 5 options. Man, woman, oh no, you've got 10 options, 20, 30, you've got 100 now. I've heard some of them say they have lost the image of God. They have destroyed the likeness and the creation of God. And now they have perverted it. They have destroyed it. They hate the image of God in our generation. But I tell you, a real church says you're made in the likeness of God. You are made to be saved. You are made to walk with God. You are made to walk in holiness. You were birthed of God. You were born into this world to find Christ and to find the image of God. It says in Matthew 22, and Jesus speaking in verse 20, and he said unto them, concerning the coin brought for tax, he says, bring me the coin, Peter. He says, whose is the image and the subscription on it? In other words, they bring the coin to him and they're trying to catch Jesus out. And they said, Master, good Master, they're trying to tempt him, trying to catch him out again. And says, Master, should we pay tax to the British government or not here in Ireland? What do you think? Man, I touch a sore point when I say that in Ireland. And they hold the coin up and they say, here in little Palestine, little Israel, little Judea, should we pay tax to the Roman emperor whose soldiers are all through our nation? Should we pay tax or should we not? What do you think, Jesus? Trying to catch him out. Do you know what Jesus said? He says, bring the coin here to me. And he holds it up in the sun. And he says, whose is the image upon the coin? And the superscription or the writing upon it, the name on it, the titles on it, the ownership on it. Who is it? And they said, it's Caesar's. Caesar's face is on it. Caesar's name is on it. Caesar's title is upon it. Caesar's everything is upon it. It's Caesar's. He said unto them then, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. Do you realize in this meeting this morning, you're God, you have a likeness of God upon you. You're not your own. Oh, sure, I'm a sinner, can live how I like. No, you can't. You have the image, the mark. You have the very likeness of God, but sin has destroyed that. And now you have these sinners with the likeness, the image, the very face of the Creator upon them, and an image of who He is, and you have them out there living as sinners. And He says, I've come to get that coin back. I want to recover that image. I want to bring you back where you ought to be, where you never should have left. You realize in April 2019, just a few months away, that Hollywood is going to release, or whoever, is going to release a brand new movie, and it's going to hit all the children in this city of Limerick. It's going to be one of the most popular movies yet. Do you know what it's called? Mr. Link. It's all about the missing link between apes and humankind. And in this movie, they're going to discover this ape-like creature that's in between a man and in between a monkey. And in this movie, they're going to evangelize all the children in our schools, in this city, in your families. You see, the devil is behind this movie because he's saying you're a monkey, you're an ape. You crawled out a billion years ago. You were in a swamp. But look how evolved man is. Do you realize evolution only got into our colleges, our universities, our schools just over 100 years ago in America? Christian universities that were birthed out of revival, that were raised up by born again, Bible believing Christians, because a real Christian believes in education. And all these great Christian leaders raised up colleges all over America, all over England. Maybe you've heard of some of them like Oxford. Do you know there used to be spiritual revival in Oxford where hundreds of young men were getting born again in the college? You send your son or daughter to college, what happens? They get born again, filled with the Spirit, set on fire for God, and they go to the mission field. Where have you been? I've been at Oxford University. Can you imagine that? Now you send your young person off to university, to college. They go there saying, oh, I believe in God. I believe in creation. I believe in the Bible. When they come back, they go, well, we come from a bit of swamp. Yeah. Do you want to know why our generation is so wicked, so evil? Do you know why? Because we've taught our young people, our young men, you're an animal, you're a beast, and that's what they act like. I want to tell you, the Bible says you're made in the image of God, you're made in the likeness of God, and when you're there slopping around in the muck and mire, He said, you are made to fly like an eagle. You are worth something, you're valuable in the sight of God. Since we're destroying this generation with evolution, the missing link. Do you know why they have to produce movies like this? They haven't found the missing link. You know, for 100 years now, you can trace the facts. I've traced every single one of their supposed missing links. Well, they get the tooth of an orangutan, they get a skull of something else, they get a jawbone of a human, and they say, look, it's a missing link. This is your ancestor. This is your great, 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 great grandpapa. You were just a beast of the fields. Saints, what a horrible thing. There's no proof, there's no science in it. It's not science. It's not academic. It's a lie from the pit of hell to destroy this generation. So you don't believe in heaven or hell. You don't believe in consequence. You don't believe in right and wrong. We're creating a monster in this generation. Look at this coin. It's lost to its owner. It's not a sheep. It's a coin. It has no thoughts, no feelings. It's lifeless. It cannot respond. So is a lost sinner. He doesn't know he is lost. He could be happy saying, I'm fine, I'm fulfilling all that I want to do. I'll go out and work, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll try my best. But there's no life in a dead coin. Someone once said about this coin, the coin was heavy, so it fell. It was round, so it rolled. It was dead, so it lay there where it fell. That's what this coin was. It was lost to the woman. Notice it's one of ten. It's a tithe of this woman. This was the woman's tithe. The tithe belongs to God. She had lost a tithe and she wanted it back for the Lord. She wasn't happy to say, it's gone. It's lost. It can't be recovered. I don't know where it is. She actually said, I want to recover God's tithe and I want to give it back to him again. This would be like having €1,000 and you lose €100 and you say, oh well. But this lady went looking for it. Notice as well, it's a silver coin, a silver drachma. Do you know what silver represents in the Bible? Redemption. Silver all through the Bible is redemption. What does redemption mean? I'm going to recover you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back to where you ought to be. Here this morning, you may not be where you ought to be. You're made in the image of God, but you're living like the devil. But the Bible actually says you're a precious silver coin, a drachma. And there is somebody coming after you to restore you, to redeem you, to bring you back to a place of value. Notice here, the coin was lost, but it was valuable to the woman. Others, the Pharisees may say, we're well rid of him. Well rid of her. Well rid of the coin. Sure, it's only a burden anyway. But God doesn't say that. Although it's lost, it is still valuable. Second of all, there's the house. You have the coin. Listen to what the house is. Notice here, the shepherd went out searching, didn't he? Went out there searching in the world looking for the lost sheep. The woman doesn't do that. Where did she lose the coin? It's in the house, in her house, in her dwelling place, in the place that she lives, the place she fellowships, the place she has her conversations, the place she eats. That's where she actually lost the coin. It is in the woman's house. Do you realize how many are lost in the house of God today? Not out there in the world. They're in the church. They attend meetings. They're there in that atmosphere. But they're as lost as a lost sheep. They may be in the woman's house, but they are still lost. You can sit in the church, and I believe there's many preachers who are lost. They're preaching in the house. They say, I'm sure I'm in the house. Sure, I'm a possession of the house. But you're lost. You're not living right. You're not bearing the image of God. You're useless. You're not even being used in the house. It's as if you're not even there. And you know what? This coin was lost in the house of the woman. And that's where she was going to recover it. Recovery of what has been lost. Thirdly, the candle. Notice again in verse 8. It says, and this Jesus giving the example. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she should lose one piece, what's the first thing she does? She's lost the coin. The coin is lost. It's gone. It's not with the other nine. What is the very first thing she does? It said, does she not light a candle? How are you going to find the coin in the house? How are you going to find it? With all the dust that's there, all the crooks, the crannies, the little holes, all of this. And remember, in those days, there were very small windows if they have had any windows at all. The house, it can be a dark place without the light shining. But you know what the lady does? The first thing the lady does is light a candle. The coin was lost in the darkness. It's in the house, but without light, it's lost. You can actually be in the house of God, but unless the light shines on you, you think you're okay. You think, I'm fine, I'm in the house of God, I'll pay my tithe, I'll sing the songs, I'll attend the meeting. But we need the light to shine. If the woman does not light the candle, if she doesn't allow the light to shine in the house, then she'll never find the coin. There's too many churches in this city and in Ireland and the Western world where the lady is not lighting the candle. She has lost her coin. She knows it's lost, but she doesn't know how to find it. But Jesus gives us the answer. The lady lights the candle. The first thing she does is light the candle. It's not talking about a candle, a wax candle. It's not talking about that. It's actually talking about a lamp that contains oil. That's what this lady had. She had a lamp that you pour oil into, then you light the oil, and the oil keeps feeding the flame. What did the lady do here with this lamp? She lit the lamp. What does the lamp represent? Lamps always represent your testimony in a dark world. The church's testimony in a dark world. If it's not burning, you have no testimony. So look at the lady, she takes her lamp. Then she lights the lamp. And I love this, the word light there means to set on fire. Here she is. She has to pour the oil in. Do you know the oil was very precious and very costly, and it was guarded very carefully, and you usually only used it at night time. But here the lady says, I've lost my coin. I'm going to make sure there's enough oil in the lamp, in my testimony. Then I'm going to light the oil. Notice it's the oil who makes the light, not the lamp. The lamp isn't what makes the light. Your testimony could be empty. Your testimony could be dark. Your testimony could be lifeless. But when the oil is in the lamp, and you then set fire to the lamp. What is the fire? It's the Holy Spirit. Who's the oil? It is the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who fills the lamp. And when you're filled with oil, then you're going to burn for God. It says in Philippians 2:15, that you, the church, may be blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You, the church, you're to shine as light. Is your light shining here this morning? I hope you're burning with fire. And if you're not, you're like that lady. Let's light the lamp. Why? Because then we'll find the lost coins. You know why there's so few lost coins found in the house of God? Because the lady is not lighting the lamp. If you light the lamp, you go in search of a lost coin. To search for lost coins without the light is hopeless, it's useless, it's worthless. You see, the light is like the light of God's word shining. It says in Philippians 2, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. We're to be light shining. What does that mean? We hold forth the word of God. If you're not holding forth the word of God in your family, your workplace, in your neighborhood with sinners, then your light isn't shining this morning. How do you, we all know, oh, my light is to shine. That little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I won't sing any more to preserve your ears. But isn't that the song we sing? That little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. If you do not hold forth the word of God, well, I'm just a very private person. Well, I'll just pray that God speaks to them. You're hiding your light. Your light isn't shining. If you don't witness, if you don't evangelize, if you don't tell someone about Jesus, if you don't give a gospel tract, if you don't send an email, if you don't put something on Facebook, then you're hiding the word of God. Your light isn't burning. Oh, I'm on fire for God, but I have a different personality. No, you need to light your fire. Your testimony needs to burn again. But there's something more here. The lady lights the candle. She's getting prepared for something. Then in verse 8, what else does it say? And sweep the house. Why does she light the candle? In order to sweep the house. There's a brush here. You can't sweep the house unless you have a brush. I did plan to bring a brush this morning. I forgot to bring it. Wanted to bring a big brush here. All through the message you'll say, why does Malcolmson have a brush up at the pulpit? What's he going to do with it? I'll tell you in the altar call. That's what I'll do. I've got that brush to sweep some things up. The lady lights her candle. Then, having lit the candle, she takes her brush and she begins to sweep the house. She doesn't go out into the street. She's not out in the countryside. She's not out in the fields or the forest. It's her own house that she's beginning to sweep up. You know why? There's lost coins in her house. And that's what she's after. She's lost a coin in her house. So she lights the candle, and I want you to see her. In one hand, she's got the lamp, and she's looking into every corner. But with the other hand, she is sweeping everywhere. But the light is shining, and Jesus says, I am going to find that coin. And Jesus says in Matthew 12:44, he speaks about a house, when a demon has gone out of it, it being empty, swept, and then garnished. Notice the three steps. It's emptied of who shouldn't be there. Then it's swept, it's made clean for habitation. Then it's garnished. In other words, you decorate the whole thing. Don't decorate before you sweep, please. And please, don't sweep before you get the devil out. You see, Jesus said, first we cast the demon out, then I move into the house. Jesus taught that he never moves into the house, the body of a believer, until a demon goes out. Two cannot dwell in the same house. But Jesus says the sweeping is making the house clean. You realize this lady is cleaning up her house. If she is to find the coin, she must clean her house. And can I tell you, if you're going to find the lost coin, it's not enough to light the lamp. That helps you to see. But then you've got to begin cleaning up the things of your life. This woman has to clean her house if she's ever going to find the lost coin. We have so much dust in our houses, we can't find the coin. You have so much rubble, so much trash, so many issues in your own heart that you're not even going seeking for the lost coin. You know why? Because you're not cleaning your house. Show me someone cleaning their own house, brushing up, sweeping up all the trash off the floor, and I'll show you someone who's going to find a lost coin. A lost sinner is going to come in. Next of all, notice it says, and that she seeketh diligently till she find it. Notice this lady in her house. She moves everything. She turns upside everything in her house. Why? She's pursuing a lost coin. Beds are going to get moved. Chairs are going to get moved. All the items, all the food, all the tables. She's going to move her husband out the front door. What are you doing, lady? I'm searching for a lost coin. Man, but aren't all these things more important than a lost coin? No, I'll wreck this house. I'm turning the house upside down. I tell you, if you walked in there, the dust is everywhere. What's going on here? I'm looking for a coin. What a determined lady. She moves everything. She upsets everything. But listen to me. In the book of Acts, in Acts 17 and 6, we read about in Thessalonica, when the Christians got there, and there's riots, and there's revival, and there's a stir in that city. They said of the Christians, these that have turned the world upside down are coming hither also. God help us. We heard about them in Antioch. We heard about them in Jerusalem. We heard about them in Samaria. We heard about them in Judea. We heard about them in Nazareth. But now they've come to our city. What are they doing? They turn the whole place upside down. I tell you, they turn things inside out, upside down, back to front. What are they looking for? The lost coin. Do you realize in the back, in the book of Acts, these Christians who went everywhere, they're persecuted, they're martyred, they're stoned, they're laughed at, they're jailed, they're whipped, their backs are like plowed fields. Who are they? They're like this woman, going everywhere, pursuing after lost coins. When they walked into the community, they said, you can whip us, you can beat us, you can spit in our face, you can punch us, but you know what? We're going to find lost coins in your town, your city, your community. We're going to find them amongst your family. We'll find them in the university. We'll find them in the schools. We'll find them on the high street. But we're here to turn everything upside down. You know why? We'll get into the smallest back streets. You know why? We're looking for lost coins. And when we find them, they'll book become a part of this church. They're going to bear the image and the likeness of God himself. The church of Jesus Christ turned things upside down in order to find lost sinners. In verse 1 it says, Christ welcomes listening sinners. They came to him and he received them. They were listening closely to what he had to say. It says the woman, she keeps searching diligently. She's putting effort into this. Oh, well, we're praying sinners come in. Well, I'm praying God will sovereignly get a sinner to walk up to me in the street and take me by the... Tell me about your God. I demand it. And we're there praying, saying, one of these days a sinner's going to come up and grab... And I'll Friday night, Lord, you sovereignly bring them in. I'm telling you something, you better be very careful. Why isn't anyone getting saved? Maybe you need to clean your house. Maybe you need to light your lamp. Maybe you need to go out in the high street. Oh, we're praying that they'll come in. Why aren't 1,000 people getting saved? Because you're not looking for them. You're not searching for them like this lady. This lady lights her lamp. She picks up her brush. She begins to clean the house. And she is diligently searching. She turns everything upside down. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Are we as a church? Is this little lady here, LCC, are we doing this? Then we dare not say, why isn't God saving the lost? Remember when Adam and Eve were lost? They're like a lost coin. They had the image of God and then they got lost and they're ashamed of their nakedness and they try to patch themselves up and go, there's some fig leaves covering us. Sure, we're fine. Adam, where are you? He came looking for them. God searches for lost sinners. He comes looking for those who have lost the image of God. He is after you in this meeting. I tell you, Darren, he's after you this morning. It's not the preacher. It's not the church. All it is God is after you. And he says, I want you. I died for you. I suffered for you. I'm after you here this morning. Notice it was found. And when she had found it, praise God, this lady found her coin. And it says that she calleth her friends and her neighbors together. We're going to have a meeting. I tell you, in this house that I've turned upside down, I don't care if all the seats are upside down. I don't care if the table's downstairs, they're all moved to the side. I don't care if the building's in a state of flux. But I tell you, when I find that coin, all my neighbors, all my friends are going to come to a meeting here. And we're going to celebrate over one coin that was found again. And she says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace that I had lost. The woman lost the coin. The shepherd didn't lose the sheep. The sheep lost itself. Yeah. Remember what I said about sheep? They always wonder, always going, man, where's that sheep? Do you know, with Shiloh, it's doggy season over the hedge. For several months, she hasn't got over that hedge. Man, every day, 2 hours, she's gone. Where is the hole in the hedge? But the coin isn't like that. The woman had lost the coin. Now the woman has got to do something to get the coin back. But she says to her friends, rejoice with me, I found my lost coin. What are we seeing here? Jesus tells us in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of God over one sinner that repenteth. Jesus tells the story of a woman gathering all of her friends. Can you imagine? She could have said, sure, they don't. It's only a coin. It's my coin. It's my problem. Surely it's a small thing. No, that woman gathers everybody she knows and says, rejoice. She tells them, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I lost my coin. Once it was lost, now it's found. Do you realize once you were lost, you were in your sin. You were drunk on a Sunday morning. You were on drugs on a Sunday morning. You were in a bed of sexual immorality on a Sunday morning. But once I was lost, now I'm found. I tell you, someone found me. Someone found me. Someone came looking after me. I didn't. I was the dead coin. I didn't look for him. He came looking for me and he found me. And it says, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Do you realize when one sinner turns from their sin and you haven't been found, the lost sheep hasn't been found until it repents. The lost coin hasn't been found until it repents. We're talking about a sinner repenting. Although the woman seeks for the coin, the shepherd seeks for the sheep, yet it is the sinner repenting, turning from their sin, broken, sorry for their sin. If you love your sin, if you're determined to carry on sinning, don't think that you're right, ready to meet God tonight. If you haven't turned from your sin, if you haven't been washed from your sin, if you haven't been forgiven of your sin, if you're not washed and made right with God, then you are a lost coin here this morning. Your image is lost. You're lost to the house of God. You know, here it doesn't make any mention of revival. Heaven is rejoicing. It must be the Welsh revival. It must be a worldwide revival. It must be a great evangelist. No. It must be miracles of healing. The dead must be getting raised. No, no dead are getting raised apart from spiritually. No, oh, the crippled must be coming out of wheelchairs. No. This is one lost coin. One lost sinner. And all of the angels in heaven. You know, in the verse just before this, in verse 7, it says, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner. Where? In heaven. That means it's not the church rejoicing. It is God rejoicing. And it's the Holy Trinity rejoicing. It is the angels, the cherubims and the seraphims. They are rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God. What rejoicing? Only one sinner. So that's not much. That shows how you judge things. That shows that you don't have a clue about Luke chapter 15. You don't understand Christ. You don't understand why he came. He came for one lost sinner. He came for you. He would have died for you. The woman is searching for you. Who is this woman as I close? I believe the woman, of course, represents God and the heart of God searching after a sinner. But I believe it's more than that. Notice the woman lost the coin. The woman is in the house. The woman gathers her friends to rejoice. Could it be that the woman represents the church, our church, your church, the church in Limerick? Is it possible that this woman who goes forth to rescue the coin in her own house is the church of Jesus Christ? And when that lost coin is restored, now she puts it back with the other nine and says, I can start using my drachma. It was useless. It was lost to me. But now it has been recovered and now I'm going to use it. When is the last time you brought someone to the house of God? When's the last time you turned up your upside down your entire schedule? When's the last time that you went out of your way to go find a lost sinner and to bring them to the house of God and to lead them to Jesus Christ? Well, can I ask you this morning, are you going to take one lost sinner to heaven? Your life has been useless and wasted. If you don't manage to win one man or one lady or one child to Jesus Christ in your lifetime. If you sit here and say, oh, I've been saved for years and I haven't led anyone to Christ who's in the house of God and walking with God, anyone can witness. Anyone can say a sinner's prayer. Anyone can say, oh, sure, you're saved. Where are they this morning? Where are they this morning? If they're born again, they'd be in the house of God this morning. You know, if they're out there, don't tell me they're born again. Oh, I'm going through a hard time, so I won't go to church for 3 months. Then you're lost in your sin and you're on your way to hell. And don't tell me you're born again. You're not. Yeah, yeah. You know, when they're not lost anymore, they're in the house of God. Yeah. The lady's got them in the house of God. How do I know you're not lost? You're in the house of God. And I'm holding the coin going, man, this coin with the image of God, I can now use it in the house of God. Saints, what am I saying? Christ is very interested in lost things. Where are you this morning? Have you been recovered? Has there been decay in your heart? I know, he's here this morning. Do you see in the midst of the worship, he's here. Do you see from we first gathered this morning, Christ has been here. He came to us. We didn't come to him. He is here in this house. He's real in this house. He wants to recover you if you're a lost sinner this morning. Jesus came to die to save you. You need to turn from your sin. And I tell you, it is done. You're free, you're washed, you're forgiven, you're redeemed. But if you're a Christian in this house and you've lost the zeal and you've lost the fire, here this morning before you walk out this door, you need to light the oil lamp again. You need to allow oil to be poured in. Man, are you dead? Alive? Oh, I'm alive unto God. Not much light, not much life, not much activity. This altar is open this morning. Saints, as Candace comes to lead us here in a time of worship. This altar's open. You and God, get into this altar. Don't just sit there. Don't look around you. This is a time to seek God. If you mean business with God, I don't care how long you've walked with God or not. You can come sit in this front row. You can kneel, but reach out and touch Him. Pray. Lay a hold of Him. Seize Him. Don't let Him go. Say, oh God, recover my fire. Recover my testimony. Pour oil into me again. Strengthen me here this morning. I want to meet with the real Master here this morning. I want a recovery. I want a fresh touch of you. I want to be saved this morning. Are you lost here this morning on your way to hell? Then you need the Master. It's not you seeking Him. He's come here this morning saying, I'm after your soul. I count you precious. I want you. I'm saying you're a sinner and you're going to hell. But if you repent and turn to Him, He'll forgive you, He'll save you this morning. Say, have mercy on me, a sinner.